Father, we thank you, Lord, again as we gather together around the word of God. Hallelujah. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause our hearts, Lord, and our minds to be illuminated today by the word of God. Speak, for we are listening, Lord, and give us understanding, not our own understanding, but the understanding that comes from your word and from the mind of the Spirit. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, today, chapter 14 of the book of Romans, back to our deep dive study through that book and the number of exhortations that he has been giving us in the last few, the previous few chapters. And here we are in chapter 14. I'm going to read it through. It'll be a good read also, you know, just reading through the scriptures, a good read. And then let's see what the Lord will tell us. Praise the Lord. So chapter 14 of Romans, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. By the way, the title of today's lesson is Individuality with God, Being Fully Persuaded. That was the main theme of this chapter. So individuality or uniqueness with God and being fully persuaded. Now, he starts off by talking about if someone is weak in faith, well, we should still receive them, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. The one that thinks he can eat all things doesn't care about, you know, whatever some people may say, don't eat this, don't eat that. He just eats everything. Another one who is weak, eateth only herbs. Now, let not, this is a commandment now, this is not a suggestion. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth, let him not judge the one, the one that eateth not, let him not judge the one that eats. So if you, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So if you eat anything and everything, well, don't despise people that say, oh, I don't want to eat that. And if you don't want to eat that, well, don't judge the one that say, I'm going to eat everything. That's what he's saying here. And he said, look, who art thou? He said, because God has received him. You know, don't judge him because God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. For God is able to make him stand. Praise the Lord. One man estimate another day above another. Another estimate every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so these are some of the, key verses after which this chapter is titled. But we'll come back and talk some more through it all. You know, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and he giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, nor does anyone die to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we therefore live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And we were just dealing with that just the other day. Everybody giving account and the rewards and all of that. Now, he says, Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, or any other thing whereby your brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Well, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Blessed be the reading of the word of the Lord. So that's the chapter. We read through it. Now let's talk through it from top to bottom. See how the Lord will help us. So right away we see that Paul is dealing with some things here. You know, the contention among the people. Some say, well, you can't eat that, you know. Some of these animals, they're unclean. You can't eat that. You can only eat. And somebody say, well, I'm not even going to eat any of that. I'm just going to eat vegetables. And, so there was, some kind of strife among them because of all of that. And one person that was had in mind that he could eat everything, well, was despising the other one that didn't he say, well, come on now, all that stuff, God's already, why are you put yourself in a corner? Well, the other one that doesn't eat, judges the one that's eating. Why are you eating the thing that's condemned or the thing that's unclean? And so there's this back and forth between them. So Paul's trying to set it straight. Look, he said, whether you eat or not eat, it's unto the Lord. He that eats gives thanks. He that doesn't eat gives thanks. So what is it then? Where then is the fighting and where then is the dispute? You do it unto the Lord, as the Lord leads you. Now, one of the things that we called out when we were in chapter 8, now it's been such a long time, a couple months over since we did those chapters. You might not want to go back through them, but chapter 8 and verse 14 says of this Romans, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this subject here is going to be very deep, because some people have forgotten that you have to be led by God in all things, and it's not necessarily based on what somebody else says. Or, what they don't say. You got to be led by God. That's what this chapter is all about, is being fully persuaded between you and the Lord. That's why I titled this Individuality with God, being fully persuaded. Now, here are some things. The two main subjects is dealing with here. He's dealing with, whether you eat this or don't eat that. It's also dealing with observing days and keeping days and so forth. So he said, look, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his master, he stands or falls. So that's a good question. You look at somebody, what they are doing, and you're judging them because you don't approve. And say, well, to their master, they stand or fall. And God is able to hold them up. Now, we're not talking about things that are clearly, unrighteous. and the things of God. We're not talking about someone, you know, being a bully, being an unrighteous person, being a fornicator, being an adulterer, all those things that the Bible talks about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, I mean, these things look like Paul is talking about. This is a matter of opinion. You know, you do what you want and leave the other body alone. If they want to eat, fine. If you don't want to eat, fine. Somebody, he says, you know, he talks about even, you know, regarding of days and things like that. One man, he said, estimate another day above another. You know, some people like to celebrate days. Others don't. You know, say, well, you know, what's your problem? We're worrying about that. You know, he said, look, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you want to celebrate, fine. If you don't want to celebrate, fine. You know, but let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, because this is a deep dive Bible study, at least that's the intent. You know, let's talk about, you know, other scriptures, you know, that may deal, you know, with these things. In a book of Colossians chapter 2, we read the following, you know, from verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. I mean, this is the same thing he's talking about, meat or so forth. Or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. You know, he didn't go into, you know, the a full teaching here, but he's just saying, let them not judge you. Well, what could they be judging about? Could it be because you are not keeping those things or because you are keeping? Paul said, well, let no man judge you. If you want to eat, fine. If you don't want to keep a holy day, some people, look, there is really, as far as I'm concerned, you got to be fully persuaded. But to me, there's no holy day. You know, every day is the day of the Lord. But some people say, well, we're going to honor this day. Today is going to be our Sabbath day. The other day is going to be a day of worship, etc. Whatever. Some people celebrate days. You know I celebrate some days in my life. You know, some days are specific. Not so much my natural birthday. People like to celebrate that for me, and I let them. That's fine. But, you know, I celebrate my spiritual birthdays. I have two of those. You know, the day I gave my life to Christ, I still celebrate it to today because it means a lot to me. It was a landmark in my life. And then the day I received the Holy Spirit, these 2 days were different in my life. They didn't happen at the same time. In fact, they were almost 2 years apart. And, you know, I celebrate them, not in the terms of calling a party, making food and so forth. No, but I spent time in reflection during those days to see, well, wow, this is what the Lord did for me. And I know how the Holy Spirit had, you know, charted my path for me since the day that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I know. So those things mean something to me. To me, may not mean something to somebody else. So what? The Bible says, look, don't let anybody judge you. If you want to celebrate, if you don't want to celebrate, fine. And if you do celebrate, don't look down on somebody who doesn't. And if you don't judge somebody who does. And going back to Romans here, we see that this is the concept that he is developing. And this subject generates a lot of debate. You know, I mean, people debate these things a lot. Well, Paul is trying to settle it here. There's no need for debate. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know, you're not going to convince the other person. So, you know, why even waste your time? Just move on. You know, to their master, they stand or fall. But their master is able to hold them up, he said. So, you know, he said, look, there is something, though, that we should be careful of. So let's read this part of it here. Even though you say, well, I'm at liberty to do whatever I want. Well, you got to be careful. You know, we don't live only for ourselves. So there is a higher, you know, responsibility. You say, well, if you eat, you eat to the Lord. And you give thanks. If you eat not, you do not eat. You give thanks. None of us leave it to himself. And, you know, we don't even die to ourselves. You know, if we live, we live unto God. If we die, we die unto God. You know, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. You know, this is the reason why Christ died and rose again. So he'll be Lord both of the dead. You know, I mean, wow. That's amazing. So, you know, that he will be, you know, the both died and revived. I may be Lord both the dead and the living. Praise God. Now, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Somebody judges a person that observes or eats. The other person despises the other that doesn't do it. I mean, they do all this. Why are you wasting your time, Paul saying? We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you remember just yesterday or the other day, we're talking about the rewards. Everybody will give account, of themselves. And when you stand before the Lord, well, you give account. You're not going to speak for the other person. Neither is somebody else going to speak for you. No man will speak for their children or their wife. Neither will the wife speak for the husband or their children or the children's brother parents. Each one of us will speak for themselves. Now, we know there are coverings that God will give in the house, such as, thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's a covering. And the generational blessings will pass from the righteous to their seed. That's a covering, It's a covenant that God made. Similar to the covenant he made with Abraham and passed on to his children. Well, God's made the same covenant with us and it will pass on to us, to our children. But, you are not going to, when we all stand before the Lord, you can't speak to them for them and say, well, this and this. No, everybody will give an account of himself. So are you persuaded? Paul would say statements like this at times. I am persuaded. In fact, he said it in this, this chapter. I am fully persuaded. There is nothing of unclean of itself. But there was a story in Acts chapter 10 of Peter. God had to show him something before the Lord sent him to the house of Cornelius to preach to Cornelius. He was in a trance and he saw a number of, four-footed beasts, he told him. Coming down from a sheet, coming from heaven, the Lord, a voice saying, rise up, kill and eat. And he said, oh no, these are all unclean things. I'm not going to eat this. Nothing unclean has ever come into my mouth. It was instructed in that vision, what God has cleansed, call not thou unclean. And the thing repeated itself. And then the sheet was drawn up to heaven. He didn't actually get up and eat anything. You maintain his standard. I'm not going to do that. I've never done that since my youth. And the voice kept telling him. And the thing happened three times. And then, his visions and trances and all of that were interrupted. So God was telling him here, and God was using that to prepare him. He didn't really know what it was all about. He thought he was hungry. Because he had been hungry and, somebody went make preparation for his food. And while food was coming, he fell into a trance, started dreaming about eating, So he might have thought, it's all because, I was hungry anyway. But the Lord was trying to teach him something. He would later understand it when he got to the house of Cornelius. Interesting story in Acts chapter 10. And when he got there and realized that God had sent him to preach to the Gentiles, which at that time people thought, no, go only to the house of the Jews. And he saw that even while he was preaching to them, before he even finished the preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on those Gentiles. And he said, wow, seeing that God has not made any difference between Gentiles and Jews, and I've given them both Holy Spirit alike, who am I then to say otherwise? he said, I see that it's not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, whoever fears the Lord, they are acceptable before him. And he made that conclusion. This must have been what God was trying to teach me with those visions. Now, what was the point? His own was different. God wanted him to not despise the Gentiles. And if I send you to them, you preach to them. I'll save them the same way I saved the Jews. I can do that too. He didn't know that. But that's a grander lesson in this message. But it's all the same. On a smaller scale, it's the little things that we worry about, that we are concerned about. Should I eat? Should I drink? Should I not do this or that? Should I observe a day or not? Well, that's one side. But there's another side. Another side of it is that you are held to a higher standard on behalf of being epistles read of all men and being your brother's keeper. Yeah, not your brother. I mean, not, I don't care. It's none of my, you know. No, we are our brother's keeper. And that's the other lesson that Paul's bringing out here. He said, look, even though you may within yourself think it's okay for you to do whatever you want, you know, what about the person who's looking at you? Suppose you are a leader or, you know, what people perceive as a more, you know, an older in the faith, more seasoned believer. And then the younger believer sees you do these things that are not right in their own mind, then their conscience is weakened, emboldened to do the same thing, you know. I've heard that, you know, there are some believers that like to engage in wine drinking and alcoholic drinking and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of people do that. I don't. I never drank that my entire life. Does that make me more righteous than others? No, that's a thing that I chose to not do. You know, does drinking of wine or alcohol send somebody to hell? Not necessarily. You know, but if they get intoxicated, they might be saying a lot of things, evil things with their mouth. There's a lot of scriptures, you know, that warn us about that in both the Old and New Testament. But the point being, while you are doing it and say, well, you know, all things are lawful for me, you know, I can do anything I want. Paul is saying here that, well, consider the eye brother who might be looking at it. He said, I am persuaded, you know, that nothing is unclean of itself. Said, rather than judging your brother, this is what you should judge. Be careful not to be a stumbling block. You're doing something that you think it's okay for you to do, but somebody who's a younger believer or whatever, they are looking at you, and now they are emboldened in their heart to go do the same thing. But for you, it may not be seen. For them, it may be seen. Because if they are not doing it of faith, but just doing it because they think, well, you know, somebody else is doing it, he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's the very last thing he said in this chapter. So, we have to look at our life and see what he said. Look, Christ died for all these people. If my eating, my drinking, or observing or not observing makes somebody, you know, of, you know, stumble, well, I'm going to try to help them. And I'll tell you a personal testimony. I have tried to help people because, you know, I went along with it when people say this and that, just to help them. Not for me, you know. I'm not talking about drinking or so, but I'm talking, like, for instance, observing days. So people say, you know, why do you observe this day? Well, because I choose to. You know, God, let every man be fully persuaded in their heart. If I observe it, I observe it. You know, to my master, I stand or fall. It's not your concern, you know. But, you know, when people, you know, are, you know, they argumentative and disputing, I go along with it. There was a time even in our local church, we were debating this thing up and down. And I'm like, I just kept quiet. But in my heart, I knew what I believed. And I knew what I stood for. Yeah, you know, and I helped some of them by just, you know, helping them. But look, the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You need to be fully persuaded. If you're not persuaded, you're going to be tossed. Everybody comes and brings an argument on one side or the other of the fence, of the subject. Then you sway this way. Somebody brings another argument, you sway that way. You know, well, be fully persuaded in your own mind. Now, does this give us justification for us to just do anything? Just to say, well, you know, well, you know, you can do anything, but you are going to answer to the Lord. I mean, some people say, well, I can do anything. Well, maybe. Even the scripture warns, you know, there are some young people that like to think, well, you know, I can just do anything I want. You know, it's my life. It's my rights and so forth. Well, you know, here's how the scripture says it. He said, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, there's some days later on that things are going to come. And then you will see that, wow, those things, you know, that you did, you might even say, well, you know, I was foolish. Well, why do you have to go through a life of pain and hurt, you know, for you to discover that you were foolish? Learn wisdom right away. The reason why parents often tell their children not to do certain things, you know, he said, well, it is because they are, you know, trying to help the children and say, look, we learned this thing the hard way. You don't have to learn it the hard way. You know, you avoid certain things and save yourself a lot of hurt. But some young people don't want to hear that. Don't figure it out on their own. Fine. Figure it out on your own, you know. But, you know, for whatever you do, know that, you know, we shall stand before the Christ. You know, God will bring us into the position where we have to give our account before the Lord. Now, all believers, I believe, will be judged, but not judged for our sins like that. Sins have been judged at the cross in Christ. But we will still be judged for our actions, for our works, and, you know, see whether there will be gold, silver, or precious stones, or whether there will be hay, wood, or stubble. You know, so now the lesson here is that whatever we do, God will, I mean, we will have to stand before the Lord for the giving of account by ourselves. You know, praise the Lord. We got to give account. There's a warning, another warning that God gives us in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, you know, verse 9. He's talking about, you know, these same things. You know, they say, look, you say I can do anything I want. Well, fine. Do whatever you want. He even put, he was speaking of it like a tongue in the cheek kind of thing. Say, you know, Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. Do anything you want. Do anything in the sight of your eyes. He said, but remember, no doubt that for all those things, God will bring thee into judgment. So that's the summary of it all. Whether youth or all, even though he was talking to young people here especially. But if you say in my heart, just because of this lesson today, somebody might say, well, you know, we've heard that we can do anything I want. Maybe so, but maybe not. See, because we are debtors to Christ. You know, Holy Spirit has a claim on your life. You cannot do anything you like. Holy Spirit says no, you know, then you can't do it. You know, you may want to argue your way out, but, you know, it's a losing argument because we are bought with a price. Now, what he says to you may not be what he says to the other person, though. This is the difference, you know, and this is what we don't know. And we will just, you know, be arguing and fighting and doing stuff. There's a lot of things that God told people not to do, but yet he could tell one person to go do it. Now, we've seen stories in the Bible, you know, Hosea. We read in the book of Hosea where God told him to go marry a harlot. It was to prove a point. But that was not a thing that a priest, especially, or a prophet should do. You know, they were even expected to marry virgins and all that. But, I mean, we've seen some crazy stuff. And you don't know what the Lord, you know, told them to do or not do. Moses, God told him, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, neither shalt thou make graven images of any kind to things in heaven or anything. But yet, the Lord come back and said, well, should make these things according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. You know, make the cherubims. Those are images. You know, so look, God may tell somebody something different than what he tells the other person. But one thing we know, the common factor is the Bible. Now, we got to use wisdom, though, because the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. In the days of Jesus, people were going by the letter. This woman was in the middle of adultery. Moses said we should stone her to death. You know, John chapter 8. What about you? You know, give the command and we'll stone her to death right now. They were going by the letter. There's a lot of things in the scriptures by the letter. You know, I mean, he that dishonoreth his father and mother, let him die the death. I mean, there's a lot of dishonorable children today. Should we bring them out and stone them to death? You know, I mean, people, you know, you say, whosoever curseth father and mother, a lot of people are cursed their father and mother. Let him die the death, you know, and so on. If your child be, you know, be disobedient and rebellious, and he will not follow the way of the Lord. Bring him out, stone him to death. I mean, all these things that were spoken in those days. I mean, should we just carry on and do those things? Well, Jesus came and brought a higher standard. He said, you have heard that he was said of old time that you do it this way. But now I tell you this. Glory to God. So it's not, we cannot just be a stickler with, you know, for, oh, you know, it says it this way. It might have said this way, but maybe God's already changed it. For instance, the Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath day, you know, it's a day that people keep or not keep. But Jesus didn't keep it. In fact, his disciples didn't keep it. You know, sometimes his disciples were doing stuff, you know, on the Sabbath day that they were supposed to not be doing or not supposed to be doing. And, you know, they would accuse Jesus, why do you let your servant do these things? I mean, your disciples and so forth. And Jesus would say, well, I tell you what, you know, he would even tell them something else. There's a story like that in a couple different places in the Bible, but let's look at this one in Mark chapter 2. And it came to pass, this is Mark chapter 2, verse 23. It came to pass, you know, that Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. Well, they shouldn't be doing that. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Shouldn't be doing that. And the Pharisees said unto him, now these Pharisees, they knew the letter. They knew everything. And the scribes and so forth. You know, they said, why do they do on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Because you're not supposed to do that. You know, if you want to eat on the Sabbath day, well, you make preparation on the day before Sabbath. You know, get the things you're going to eat ready. Those are their laws in those days, so that you don't do those things during the Sabbath day and all of that. And so they asked Jesus, why are your disciples doing that which is not lawful according to the law of Moses? The answer of Christ might surprise many people. You know, here's what Christ said. You know, and I love it about Christ, you know, how he would answer a question with a question many times. And he answered them, well, have you also never read that which David did when he was had need and he was hungry? And even they that were with him? Have you never read that? And then the people knew the story, so they couldn't say they couldn't read it. I mean, they hadn't read it. How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest only. And he also gave them to him that gave to those who are with him. You know, and then you say, well, have you not read those things? They kept quiet. They couldn't answer him a word. He said, well, and I tell you now, the Sabbath was made for man. See? Powerful declaration here. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That means every day, even the Sabbath, which you guys call holy, it's made for man. Man rules the day, not the other way around. No day should rule you. No Sabbath, no holy moon, no not day, no Christmas, no whatever day we celebrate should or not celebrate should not rule you. Because these things are just man-made. Man come up with these things. You know, some of them, you know, even if you read the history of some of them, like Christmas and some of these things, they come from, you know, heathen background. But the point is this. Paul says, you want to celebrate? Celebrate. You don't want to celebrate? Don't celebrate. You know, you're going to give account to the Lord one way or another. You know, so, but this you must judge. Don't be a stumbling block to others. You know, watch what you do, the impact that he has on others as well. You know, Sabbath made for man and not the other way around. What does that mean? Let's talk about that some more. There are some people till today that, you know, must keep the Sabbath the way the Sabbath is. But yet, people argue about who the Sabbath is. The Jews, you know, they have, you know, Sabbath. Actually, no matter which day you pick, it can never be the same because the Jewish calendar is different from the Gregorian calendar. So people say it's Saturday. It may not even be Saturday at all to the Jews. Some people say it's Sunday. Some people say Sunday is the day of worship. I don't know where they got that from, because that's not even the scriptures. The Sabbath was a day of rest, not a day of worship. Every day is a day of worship. A Sabbath, God gave them one day in seven to rest. You know, rest. Yeah, because, I mean, God demonstrated the same thing, you know, for us. So it's rest. They didn't say, you know, you worship God on this day and worship, don't worship God on other days. You know, it's a concept that some people have. Sunday is holy, so I go to church, I'll be all pious and everything. And then Monday through Saturday, I can live any way I want and come back on Sunday. No, every day is the day of the Lord. And every day was made for us, and we were not made for the day. So the day cannot control me. That's right. You know, I rule the day. Praise God. That's what Jesus is saying here. In fact, God has, Job, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Can you do it? Well, yeah. Job should have known that he can do it, you know, but he wasn't doing it. So now we know that we can do that. You know, it's not, you know, the day should not be ruling us. We should be able to command the day. God gave Adam dominion over everything. You know, he lost it because of sin. And Jesus is showing us the way back. That's part of what we're doing on this platform. Let's get back there. And let's not muddle the waters with, you know, things that are irrelevant. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 23, because, you know, as soon as I said irrelevant, I picked up something that somebody was thinking. In the book of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was talking about some things, but this is the way he put it. He said, you know, in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye tithe, now, this is about tithing, but it's a point I want to bring. It said, you tithe mint, you tithe anise, you tithe cumin, you tithe all these things, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, faith, all these things. Now, so Jesus himself is saying there are some things that are heavier than others. There's some little things that you guys, you know, whether you tithe or don't tithe, you know, so what, you know, and then he's saying that, look, these you should have done, the mercy, the judgment, the faith, and all these things. You should have loved your brother as yourself, the law of Christ, do all these things. These are the things you're doing. But he now says, and you should not have left the other undone. See, that's very important. Now, when we do the weightier matters of the law, Jesus said, those are more important. But at the same time, you shouldn't leave those other things undone. But they are not the weightier matters. You spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, tithing this, tithing that, and so forth. But you, every day, you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness and all these weightier matters against your brother. He said, you know, what is that? You know, do these higher things, but don't leave the others undone. You can still do those things, but don't neglect these higher things. So I say that to say this, you know, we know that every word of God is pure, but at the same time, there are certain matters that are weightier than others. This is the scripture. Jesus is saying it here. Now, so what are those matters that are weightier than others? Well, the matters of judgment, the matter of mercy, the matter of faith. Mercy includes forgiveness and release and all these things. Yeah, these are the things that are weightier. Should I tithe or not tithe? What should I tithe or not tithe? These are lesser matters. You should do it. Jesus said, don't neglect do it, but don't, you know, ignore these other things. So my argument here is that there are weightier matters at certain times, you know, than some of these other things that we spend ourselves on. Somebody said about a little leaven at the whole lump. Well, that's true. That's leaven. Now you have to decide whether the leaven, whether the thing is leaven, see? If the thing is leaven, well, a little leaven, say, hold on. But the thing may not be leaven. It may just be, you know, customs and traditions and so forth. You know, the church has brought in a lot of customs which were not there before. They're celebrating Christmas and all these things. Some of them were hidden practices at the beginning. Well, you know, but weightier matters of the law, the church has left. And busy with doing this. I mean, even during the so-called Easter season. I mean, people turned it into running after rabbits and eggs and all these things. So as if that has anything to do with the death and resurrection of Christ. Unfortunately, people are swept into all these crazy and nonsense traditions, which even defile your faith, you know. But on the other side, you know, you think about it. You may not necessarily, I may not necessarily celebrate as they celebrate, because Jesus said, ye worship what you know not. We worship what we know. So they do what they don't know. I do what I know. You know, now if I choose to say, well, okay, did the scripture say we should celebrate Christmas? Absolutely not. In fact, Jesus talked about his death. You know, he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. You know, talking about, you know, breaking of bread and his death. What's he talking about? You know, whether, you know, we should be celebrating the day he was born. But if he wasn't born, he wouldn't have died. You know, and the scripture did record the day of his birth. I mean, the scripture could have been silent. They could have just not said anything about the fact that he was born. But he wasn't silent. He was silent about many of his years. After age 12, we heard nothing of him. In fact, we heard nothing of him too much. You know, after he was a baby, took him to the temple and all that. After that, we heard nothing of him until he was age 12. One time they went somewhere and he stayed behind arguing with the, debating with the philosophers. And then after that, we heard nothing again until he was about 30 years old. Those areas that were silent, we don't need to try to dig into it. But there was a reason why the angels came and announced his birth, you know, and came out and said, you know, glad tidings of great joy I bring you this day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And, you know, and they said, hey, glory to God in the highest and goodwill to all men. Well, that's the reason why they made that announcement. There was a reason why there was a herald of songs and angels singing and saying, glory to God in the highest and all these things. That was a reason. So if I choose to say, hey, you know, I love that day, well, so be it. If you don't like it, fine, so be it. You know, so let's not judge one another in these things. You know, this doesn't matter. What matters is do not set a stumbling block. You know, now I may choose to not celebrate anything if people around me were offended for their sakes, not for my sake. Even, you know, I mean, Paul was talking about eating even things offered to idol. He said, well, idol is no nothing. He said, but if somebody tells you that this thing is offered to an idol and then you eat it, well, now you are giving credence to the fact that they are worshiping idols and you are approving of it because they told you it's offered to idols and you are eating it. And then somebody who is weak might look at you and so forth. He gave that lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, their conscience will now be made weak. Their conscience, not yours, but their conscience. But for their sake that their conscience is made weak, you know, well, I may not eat, you know, for to help them. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, it bothers me, but I do it to not, you know, I may not do it to help them. So we need to know these things and understand what the Lord is saying. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, well, he said, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. This is 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 4. For though there be those that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, yeah, as there be many gods and many lords, but unto us there is but one God, the Father of all, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus, by whom we are, and all things, and we by him. So, now, he said, but nevertheless, not everybody has this knowledge. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience unto this day, conscience of the idol unto this day, they eat as a thing offered unto the idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So, if you do the thing, whether you eat or celebrate or whatever, and you're doing it not in faith, your conscience is already defined. It says, meat does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better? Neither if we eat not, are we the worse? He said, but this is the thing that you should take heed of. Don't let this liberty become a stumbling block to the weak. This is the same thing he's talking about in Romans 14. Don't say, well, I can do anything. And then while you are doing it, others are stumbling. And these are people for which Christ died. So this is the reason, this is my reason, why I may choose to not do something that I thought I could do anyway, but because somebody else might be made weak. Well, that's for them, for me, you know. Now, it says, look, if any man, you know, sees you, you say you have faith, you have knowledge, and so forth, you sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things that are offered to idols? Because he saw you doing it. I mean, some church folks see their leaders sitting, drinking wine, beer, and all these things. And their hearts are therefore emboldened to be doing those things. And they say, well, I saw pastor so-and-so, and I saw this other person. You know, now, say, but when you do these things and sin against the brethren, you wound their conscience and you sin against Christ. The thing which you thought, I can do all things, has become a sin. Paul put it down here, right here. So, even though he said, I can do it, well, this and that, you know, it has become a sin because he wounded the conscience of somebody for whom Christ died. So we got to be very careful. So am I right? Am I then, you know, responsible for whatever people think? Well, yeah, we can be our brother's keeper. Now, in the sense of, you know, what they think doesn't have to judge your actions, but what they think out of love and compassion for them to help those who are weak. This is only for those who are weak. You know, if everybody is like this, they're weak. That's what Paul is saying. If they're weak, then, you know, I help them, you know. But we said, look, if my meat will make my brother to offend, then I will not eat it as long as the world standeth, so that I may not make my brother to offend. You know, when you read Romans 14, you have to also read 1 Corinthians 8. Put them all together. See the things that Paul is talking about. You know, so whereas it was a lot of things about eating, drinking, celebrating or not celebrating in Romans chapter 14, this one is all about eating, mostly things offered to idols. Now, so what is your knowledge? Remember, he starts out by saying, knowledge puffs up. That's what he said in the very first chapter of, verse of this chapter of 1 Corinthians 8. As touching things offered unto idols, we know, Paul knew, do you know, that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And is it only knowledge in these things? No, it's knowledge about so many things. Some of us have knowledge about, you know, the deep things of God, end time mysteries, and so on and so forth. Some of this knowledge actually can puff up, but love edifies. And, you know, if you have knowledge, well, have it to yourself. You know, sometimes you say, well, I don't care about those things. Those things mean nothing. Well, maybe you should care because it may be offending somebody else. I'm just trying to bring a balance on both sides because, you know, you can take any side of the coin. It can be a debate one way or another. But the bottom line is, you know, individuality with the Lord is what Romans chapter 14 is teaching. You know, so we went to these other scriptures just because it's a deep dive Bible study. But what he's teaching in Romans 14 is let every man be fully persuaded in their own mind. And if you do or don't do, you eat or don't eat, well, to the Lord either way. And let not the onlooker be judging the other person, because their master is the one to whom they are responsible and will give account. And God can hold them up. In other words, if they are doing something that is wrong, as far as God is concerned, God can teach them and instruct them. The Holy Spirit can correct them. There are many things. It's not, is it just meat? Is it just day you celebrate? No, it's other things. Some people say women should cover their hair. Some people say people should, women should not wear pants and trousers. Some people say, look, we can stand here or sit down here for a week and debate all these things. And you will find arguments on both sides of the fence or the coin. You know, should a woman cover her hair? Some people say, yeah, you should. Well, was her hair giving her for a covering? Well, yes, yeah. Well, if she has long hair, then she has covering. Yeah. But then she cuts her hair. So now she loses her hair. And people argue about all these things. Well, should a woman wear, pants and so forth? So what? People argue about these things. I mean, in fact, I have been in places where people argued to the point where, you know, somebody slapped another person. And these are believers, because they kept telling them to their face that they're not instructing their children well and so on and so forth. You know, that they're allowing their children wear pants. They're allowing the children to do this and this. The other person was so angry, they slapped the other person that was telling them. And these are believers. I mean, what are you? Are you kidding me? You know, and look, people fight over all these things, you know, and these are lesser matters. They are heavier matters. You know, and people, when we are, you know, Jesus called it this way. He said, you strain over a gnat, like a little thing, but then you swallow a camel. You know, these things are like gnats, you know, that we fight over, but then we swallow a camel. You know, we believe in stuff that the Bible doesn't even teach. Some people fight over these things, and yet they believe that there are three gods. You know, whereas that's the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yeah. People, some of the people that fight over these things, they're still, you know, debating whether there are three gods. You know, and how many gods they will see in heaven, you know. So there are weightier matters that we should consider. However, you know, you got to be careful even how you interpret this lesson, because, you know, sometimes some people want to hear what they want to hear, you know, and they don't want to hear what we are saying, you know. So don't be like that. You know, you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't just be like, oh, you know, they said this on the platform, you know, and so forth. You know, there was one day that I was teaching something about, you know, how a man should take care of his wife and say other things. And then one day I was teaching about, you know, wisdom, or sometimes when you can say no. You know, I've taught those things recently. One person got up and said, well, Pastor Yaro said you say no. And then they took that, you know, a wrong way and began to say no to the things which they shouldn't say no about. No. You know, look, you know, if you want to take the word of God that way, you will put a dagger to inside your own heart. That's not how to take the word of God. You listen to what we are saying, discern everything. The Bible says, prove all things, you know, and hold fast to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil. Now, discern what we are saying and see whether we are speaking the words of God. You know, people in Bereans, the Bereans and so forth, they went and searched the scriptures to see whether all things were so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just evil, but even the appearance of it. That's right. The appearance of you sitting in an idol's temple doing whatever they are doing there. That appearance alone. The appearance of you going, you know, and drinking and doing all these things, even the appearance of it can cause problems. You know, so let's use wisdom. You know, because wisdom is justified of her children. But ladies and gentlemen, we will all answer to Christ. In summary, the lesson of Romans chapter 14, and you know, what is the lesson? Well, I summarized it in the title of today's room by saying the lesson is individuality with God. Being fully persuaded in your own mind. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. Now, when the Holy Spirit tells you something and you are, you know, willingly disobedient or willingly ignorant of that thing, then the Holy Spirit, you are going to have to deal with the Holy Spirit. You know, but, you know, blessed is the man that does not condemn himself in the thing which he alloweth. You know, so if the Holy Spirit may be okay for somebody, maybe not okay for you. You know, we don't know, but everybody will stand before the Lord. You know, don't get crazy over any of these things, you know, that don't mean so much. It's what Paul is saying. But one you should be careful about is you may think it's okay for you to be, and it may be okay, but sometimes you have to be in consideration of others just for their good. Not for you to feel condemned, but for their good. And don't never say, am I my brother's keeper? Should I, you know, no. You know, but we have to think of those, you know, everything on both sides. The posture by the grace of God. And we preach not ourselves. So, you know, I don't generally preach my things. So I may give a testimony, but we have to preach the word of God. The posture by the grace of God that I adopt is this thing here in Romans chapter 14. You know, I can choose to not be judged by anybody, but if I see that, you know, whatever I'm doing is bothering them, well, I can choose to go along with them just to help them. But for me, you know, I mean, the spiritual man judges all things, yet himself is not judged by any man, you know, so I can move on, you know, when the Holy Spirit tells me though, you better listen. And the Holy Spirit tells you that it may be wrong for you to be cutting your hair and all these things, then don't be arguing. Yeah. The Holy Spirit may say to you and not to the other lady. When he tells you this and that, you know, so, you know, these things, Paul said, look, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. We're not here going to be arguing about these things. We're going to put out the word of God, you know, you do what you want with it, you know, but you will give account. Now, we will give instructions. Now, Paul was careful to say, look, I did not shun away from declaring to you the full counsel of God. We will try to always give instructions, but, you know, let me put a disclaimer out here. I am not infallible in everything. Neither do I claim that I know the answer to everything. Some things you ask me, I say, well, I don't know. But let's search the scriptures together. You know, I don't claim. But what I do know is, you know, if any man is not led by the Spirit of God, then he cannot claim to be the Son of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, if you are led by the Spirit, you may be led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit to go and be tempted of the devil in the wilderness. You know, the Lord may lead you to be doing something that other people. Why in the world will you go into the bush? You know, put yourself up for that. You know, why don't you hide yourself from that? Well, the Lord led him there to go and do exactly that. You know, so the Lord may lead you to do, and these things, you know, they are weightier matters of the law. The more important things, judgment, mercy, faith, righteousness, and all of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, basically encapsulate the things that the Spirit is looking for in us. But whether I should eat only vegetables or eat a certain meat or not, celebrate a day or not, yeah, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, you may have other scriptures that say the contrary. Well, yeah, let's see what you have. Because one day, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody, you know, that said, well, we don't, you know, this and that. And say, well, you know, and I love to put out the scriptures on both sides, you know, and I put out the scripture. I said, well, what about this and what about that? What about this? What about that? You know, I have these debates even in my own family. You know, I have this debate in our local church, you know, and so forth. But to me, I don't get hung up on all those things. You know, at the end of it, I say, hey, God bless you. You do whatever you want. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, so do. You know, and move on. And it's not, I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over that. And if you want to lose sleep, well, fine. The Holy Spirit, you know, troubles you, then you go to the Lord in prayer. But be sure that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you. The Holy Spirit will not condemn you, though. Anything that condemns is not from God. There is no condemnation in Christ. you know, if we walk according to his wills and not according to the flesh. Holy Spirit, we convict you that what you are doing, the stand you take is wrong or right. But he won't condemn you even if you take the wrong step. He will bring you to Christ, though, if you're taking the wrong step. And but if they were doing something wrong and the Holy Spirit is telling us and you keep doing the wrong thing, well, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, I mean the words in the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. He says, well, he that is being often reproved continues to harden his neck shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So when the Holy Spirit is reproving you and rebuking you of something, don't harden your neck. Don't say, well, I can do anything I want. No. If the Holy Spirit says don't, then don't. You know, but because remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at the end of the day, all the lessons that we saw that Jesus told about the kingdom of God and when it shall come in his time to be rewarded and so forth, we didn't see Jesus talking about, you know, the people that stand before me on that day, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to ask them, did you eat meat or did you not eat meat? Did you celebrate this day or did not? Jesus didn't even talk about those things. Talk about weightier matters of the law. Did you keep the word of God that says, you know, help your brother when they were in need? When you saw me, did you, you know, that I was in need? Did you feed me? Did you clothe me when I was naked? Did you visit me when I was in prison? Did you do this or did you do that? You know, it wasn't talking about, you know, did you hold your hair one way or another? You know, so now, these are weightier matters of the law. How do we treat one another? Because, you know, there's really the love of God in you when you have the, you know, what's good in your hands. And those are things that Jesus will judge because they are in the scriptures, you know. And these other things he will actually judge, I believe, here on earth. Now, those things that may be right or wrong, he will deal with them right here. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the governor of the church. He will judge it in individual lives. I believe that 100%, you know, because he's going to fix it. Why? Because I know the Bible says that Holy Spirit's work is to produce a glorious church having no spot or wrinkle. So if there is spot or if there is wrinkle, Holy Spirit will fix it. He has to, because he must present us glorious without spot or without wrinkle. But all those spots and wrinkles are for this time. Holy Spirit will fix them and then we will be a glorious church. You know, when we appear there, it will be rewarded for other things, not for those spots or wrinkles, or judged for those spots or wrinkles. The Holy Spirit already took care of it. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. And this covers Romans chapter 14. We went back and picked up the deep dive study of the book of Romans. We left at chapter 13 back, I think it was December 4th or something last year. It was the last lesson we did. And we covered so many other things since then. I'm going back to this book because I want to finish it up. So we've done chapter 14 today. If you are so inclined and you have time, you know, I recommend that you read ahead for the next two chapters. That's what we'll be covering next time we come back. I think I'm done with this chapter. We're going on to chapter 15 tomorrow by the grace of God. Now let me pray over the room. I'm going to leave it. You know, this subject will invite, you know, multiple discussions, I'm sure, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. One thing is this, you know, there was a time the Lord taught me this. Let me just say this before I close. The Lord taught me to not break fellowship just because I disagree with somebody. Yeah, I just thought, I realized that in my mind and I made up my mind. Like, look, I may disagree with you or you may disagree with me on this and this, but I'm not going to go break fellowship. You know, fellowship is something of the spirit. I'm not going to break that just because we don't agree on everything. But some people get offended about so many things. You know, for me, I've made up my mind, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people I do ministry with side by side, you know, maybe here on the platform, maybe at the church, maybe in other places and so forth. Do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. You know, but, you know, Do we fellowship? Well, absolutely, yes. You know, so, you know, it's a choice. I've chosen to look, I can fellowship and make sure fellowship is not broken, you know, on the weightier matters. You know, even people don't agree with me on even some things that I consider very sacred. That's okay. You know, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to them in their time. Hallelujah. The way I see it is this. This is my summary over this. And finally, the last word that I will say on this is the way I see it is this. If a brother or a sister does not see things my way, and I believe that my way is the correct way, then the way I conclude is, well, God hasn't revealed it to them yet. Because remember, scripture says, what is it that thou hast not received of God? If thou did receive it, where is boasting then? And why would you now behave as if you got it? Whatever revelation, whatever knowledge I have, which the other person doesn't have, is because God gave it to me. And if God gave it to me, you know, then why is there boasting there? So let me read that to you as I close in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, these things, brethren, I've transferred in a figure to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 6. He said, look, you know, let us, I've learned, you know, and I want to pass the same thing on to you, that ye might not think in us of men above that which is written. And you'll be puffed up one against another. So who maketh thee to differ from, you know, somebody else? You know, we know we are unique. That's God. But what is it that you have that you have not received? If you've received it, where the end of your glory? As if you have not received it. Where is boasting then? You know, so this is the way I see it. If I hold that my position is good and their position is wrong or faulty, well, then my conclusion is, well, God has not revealed it to them yet. There's no reason for me to fight over it. I mean, I should be fully persuaded in my mind, and you should be fully persuaded in your mind. But there's no reason for us to fight over it. You know, whoever is right or wrong, God has not revealed it to the other person otherwise. But here is one thing, though. You know, there can be only, you know, scripture cannot contradict itself. So if two people claim that God told them the same, I mean, two things that are contrary to one another, either they are both wrong, or at most, one of them is right. So if you can say is white and the other one says black, and everybody says God told me so, you know, it may both be even be wrong. So be careful now. You know, what we hold to be so dear may even be wrong. I mean, these people held these things so dear in their heart, so dear in their heart, until Jesus came and just trashed it. You know, he said, look, all these things, manna that you ate from him, he said, it's nothing. You know, that was nothing. Your fathers ate it, but they are dead. Just trash the thing. And then he brought something new. You know, but this was something they held sacred for centuries. And Jesus just came there and said, manna, that's not the manna. The real manna is me right here. You know, he just dismissed all that. And so there were many other things that they held so strong for centuries that Jesus just came and dismissed. Just dismissed it. You know, so these are traditions. These are not the word of God, you know. So these are traditions. He just dismissed them. So let's be careful. Praise the Lord. Let me pray. Father, I thank you and I give you glory and praise. I pray that we have understanding and we have wisdom in these things. And the wisdom of God is Christ, revealed to us in his word. And if any man is contrary, the Bible says, well, if they be otherwise minded, the Lord will reveal even this to them. And if the Lord has not revealed it to them, well, the Lord has not revealed it to them. So, you know, we must, you know, be united in faith, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace, you know, in the unity of love. Father, help us, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the devil not take advantage of fractions and disintegration in the body of Christ. But we must, with one mind, one heart, one soul, speak the things that are uppermost in God's heart concerning the things of the kingdom. and love and purity and, you know, and chastity and forgiveness and mercy and faith and righteousness and all the fruit of the Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you teach us these things in Jesus' name. Let every man be fully persuaded before the Lord, for each of us will give account before the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.